Well, friends, I am excited about this new year, 2009. How many here are excited today? God has got something great in store for you. And we began a mini-series last week entitled A Taste of the Divine in 2009. You know, God is divine, and He wants you to taste of His goodness this year. You know, last year may have had some disappointments for you, 2008. Maybe some missed opportunities. Maybe a relationship that you could have worked on that you didn't. Maybe some missed educational or job opportunities. And so today you might be living with some regret, maybe with some I would've's, I could've's, I should've's. But friend, I'm here to encourage you today. Leave the I would've's, I could've's, I should've's where they belong. They belong in the past. Leave the past where it belongs, back there. And let's go forward with a greater thing that God has got for our lives this year. You know, God has got a miracle in His hand for your taking. He's got physical healing in your body. He's got financial provision for you. He's got peace in place of your turmoil. He's got deliverance for you from drugs, from alcohol, and from wrong sexual relationships with someone who is not your spouse. He's got something great for you this year. God has got a plan and a purpose for you to fulfill in 2009. And last week we talked about, the subtitle of it was hearing problems. And you know, some of us here today may have some spiritual hearing problems. We might wonder what God is trying to say to us about our lives for 2009. And we studied the conversion of Saul from Acts 9, verses 1 through 19. If you read Acts 9, verses 1 through 19, you can understand that God is speaking. Jesus Christ, God the Son, is speaking to Saul in verses 4 through 6. And He's speaking to Ananias in verses 11 through 16. You know, and Saul and Ananias are doing a key thing. They are listening to what God is saying for their lives. And friend, I'm here to encourage you today. In the same way, God is still speaking. Will you listen? Will you hear what God has to say for your life individually this year? You might be wondering, well, how does God speak? And we talked about that last week. God speaks with a still, small voice of peace on the inside, in your heart. If God is saying yes to a course of action, and you know, God, should I start a relationship with this person? God, should I join up with this ministry? If God is saying yes, He'll give you a peace on the inside. If He's saying no, there will be no peace. Another way that God speaks is through His written word. In order for God to speak to you through His written word, you've got to have it stored up on the inside. You've got to read it on a consistent basis. God speaks to us through respected ministers, a person that you respect in your life. And one of the other ways in which God can speak is through dreams and visions. So friends, I'm here to tell you today that God is speaking. Will you tune in to the voice of God for your life? You know, there's going to be voices out there competing for your attention. The voice of the world, the voice of fear, the voice of the flesh, the voice of the media. How many know that the media tries to talk to us? Amen. Trying to tell us how to think and what to do?
You're right.
Friend, the word of encouragement today is that we have got to tune out. We have got to turn off those competing voices and tune in to the voice of God's Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
God has got something special for you. He's got a plan for you, but you've got to hear from Him about what He wants you to do starting this year. And today we're going to continue a message called, What Should I Do? What should
I do?
And you know, Martin Luther King Jr., in honor of him, he knew what he was called to do. He was called to speak to the dividing walls of hostilities between the races and to tear those walls down. So today's message is, What Should
I do?
Let's turn to Acts chapter 9 if you have a Bible. If not, I'll read it to you. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. This is from the NIV, New International Version. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Verse 3, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Now, friends, from the first three verses in Acts 9, we have to understand that at one time, Saul was a persecutor of Christians. He was breathing out murderous threats against believers in Jesus Christ. You know, he thought he was doing God a favor. Saul was the kind of person, I think, that thought he was a man in charge of his own life. He thought he was doing a good thing by persecuting Christians. You know, our lives are like automobiles with a driver's seat. And Saul was in the driver's seat of his life, doing his thing, until this light from heaven shone on him and blinded him. It threw him to the ground as he was on his way to Damascus. Threw him to the ground, and he heard a voice. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And what did Jesus say? "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting."
Amen.
I want to look at verse 6 and concentrate on it for the next few minutes in Acts chapter 9. It says, "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The King James Version inserts a few extra words at the beginning of the verse. And let me read it. "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." The KJV inserts those words of Saul. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" In modern English, he was saying this: "Jesus, what are you wanting me to do with my life? Jesus, I hear you. What are you wanting me to do with my life?" You know, I think that question of Saul, "Jesus, what are you wanting me to do with my life?" indicated a heart change in Saul. It indicated, it pointed to the fact there was a true conversion to Christ in the life of Saul. What was Saul saying by that question? "Lord, what would you have me to do?" He was saying, "Jesus, I am no longer in the driver's seat of my life. Jesus, I place you in the driver's seat of my life. My life is now yours. You do, Jesus, with my life as you please. Be in full charge of my life. Jesus, be the Lord, the ruler of my life." See, at one time, Saul was the ruler of his own life. But he was thrown to the ground and he said, "What do you want me to do, Jesus, with my life?" There was a heart change. He was saying, "Jesus, take the steering wheel of my life. Do with my life as you please." And we see in verse 20 of Acts 9 that at once Saul began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. He knew what it was that Jesus was wanting him to do. It was to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Friend, in order for you to fulfill God's plan for your life this year, you have got to ask the same question that Saul asked. God, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Jesus, what are you wanting me to do with my life? Are you willing to ask that question? You can only ask that question if Jesus is Lord of your life. If Jesus is the one in full charge of your life. You know, we can expand this question to include other questions like this. Jesus, what relationship do you want me to develop in my life this year? Or Jesus, what relationship do you want me to let go of this year?
Amen.
Another question. Jesus, what do you want me to do with my diet and exercise plans in order to receive the physical healing you've got for me? Jesus, what do you want me to do concerning courses so that I can be delivered from alcohol and drugs? Jesus, what educational path or career path would you have me to take this year, 2009? Jesus, what ministry or church do you want me involved with this year? What do those questions indicate? If you ask those questions, friend, it's evidence, like Saul, that Jesus is now in the driver's seat of your life. He is the one in charge. He wants to tell you what he wants you to do with your life this year. You've got to tune in. You've got to hear to what he's saying. But not only should you hear what he's saying, you've got to act upon what he's telling you to do. You know, a lot of times, what do people do? I've done this in the past. You may have done this in the past. A lot of times, at the beginning of a year, people will go to their own limited mind. And how many here know that our minds, our physical minds, are limited? We can only see so far into the future, but we serve a God who sees into eternity. We need to consult Him. You know, if you consult your own mind, you know, you come up to the beginning of a year, and I've done this in the past. Man, I wonder, you're just thinking to yourself, I wonder what the right thing for me to do this year is. What good thing could I do this year without even asking God? And friend, if you turn to your mind and you try to figure it out with your own limited understanding, you will get trapped with the good thing, not doing the God thing. We've got to do a God thing and not the good thing. Why? Because it's the God thing that will yield the best results in our lives. Do not lean to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, the Bible says. Consult God. Consult the Spirit of God, not your own mind. The Word of God says that we have the mind of Christ. You know, good is the enemy of best. Think about that. Good is the enemy of best. God has got the best in store for you this year. But if you don't talk to Him, if you don't ask the question that Saul asked, Jesus, what would you have me do with my life? You'll only end up doing the good thing and not the best thing. God wants the best for your life. But you've got to talk to Him. Question Him. Jesus, what are you wanting me to do with my life? Let me give you a story here. Back in 2006, I came to the beginning of the year, the first quarter of the year. And previous to that, I had been doing a lot of missions work in the nation of India, bringing the gospel to the lost, teaching pastors. And so in my own limited mind, I thought to myself, man, what good thing could I do this year? I'd like to bring the gospel beyond India, maybe into China, some other Asian nations. Without even really consulting God. I've been there, friends. And so I ended up, through a series of events, getting involved with this organization that did work in China, Hong Kong, and some other Asian nations. So I ended up going out there. We trained here in the States. Ended up going out there to Hong Kong. I had about 10 young people under my care, ages 18 to 21.
Really?
We were teaching at a school in Hong Kong. And friend, I kid you not, every step of that trip was so difficult. It was like with every step, I was just trudging through mud. It was so difficult. And I really believe that when God is in something in your life, it's smooth flowing. It goes pretty well. There will be tough times, but it goes pretty smooth. Every step of that trip was so difficult. When I got back to the United States, I was questioning God. I was like, God, I don't understand. Why is it that that trip to Hong Kong was so tough, so difficult? Every step of it, my team gave me problems. There were challenges at every turn. And in my spirit, I sensed that, Jonathan, you really did not consult God on this move. Jonathan, you did a good thing and not the God thing. You know, the right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. Plain and simple.
Amen.
I might have been doing a good thing bringing the gospel to Hong Kong, but it might have been the wrong time. So it was the wrong thing. It was good in the sense that I was bringing the gospel to Hong Kong to this group of students, but it really wasn't a God thing. And through that, I learned the lesson. I was relying on my own mind. Friend, I'm here to tell you today, don't rely on your own mind. Rely on the Spirit of Almighty God. He wants to speak to you about doing the right thing at the right time so you yield the best results. Let's say today, Jesus, what are you wanting me to do with my life this year? Friend, I'm here to tell you today that God has got something for you to do. A lot of people that drive automobiles carry a spare tire in case they get a flat, right? Put on that spare tire and keep on driving. I'm here to tell you that in the kingdom of God on this earth, you are not a spare tire. You may have been told in the past that you're an accident going somewhere to happen. Whoever said that to you was inspired of the enemy, because the devil is a liar and the father of lies. You're not a spare tire. You have an important part to play on this earth and in the kingdom of Almighty God. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12:27, "Now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it." He likens the church, the body of Christ, to a human physical body. Friend, you have a part in the body, in the local church, in the kingdom. You may be the hands in the body of Christ, helping pick up chairs after a service, maybe helping put out chairs, helping serve the food. You know, without you doing your part, the whole body suffers. Those that would need chairs wouldn't get chairs because you'd not be doing your part. You might be the mouth in the body of Christ. Maybe God has called you to stand on the pulpit and teach His Word and to share the gospel with the lost. And if you're not doing your part as the mouth, those who are lost may not be saved. The kingdom of God suffers. You have an important part in the body. You may be a toe in the body of Christ. You know, the big toe helps bring balance to the human body. Maybe you're the big toe in the body of Christ. You're not seen. But you maybe you bring balance to stormy situations.